Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friends, I'm your host, Leanne Heiss. Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast. It's our first snowfall here at my home in West Michigan, and it's 84 degrees in Poway, California, at the Moms in Prayer global headquarters. Wherever you are, we are so glad you are with us. You are in for a treat today as we finish up our two-part episode with author, speaker, and mom, Carol Kent. First, though, I want to tell you that we have winners to the commenter challenge from last month. Kim Baldwin and Dana Frederick, received books by Crystal Miller from episode 8. Special thanks to Crystal for those gifts. And a big thank you to all of you who review and comment. Please do leave those comments and star reviews. You can do it for every single episode, and it helps boost our podcast to the top of the list so that more people can learn about the life-changing ministry of Moms in Prayer. How thankful are you for Moms in Prayer in your world this month? So glad, right? Last week, I issued the first podcast challenge to give a small gift back to Moms in Prayer. If you're new around here, you may not know that there is no charge to be a part of Moms in Prayer. Our online resources and prayer sheets are available at absolutely no cost to you. We're fully funded by donations. If you want to learn about the incredible stewardship of our ministry, you can go look at all the awards on the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org. But what if we all gave a small gift back to Moms in Prayer this month? What if all of us who attended a group gave $10? The tidal wave that would happen for the Moms in Prayer ministry would be amazing. It would be a game changer. All that you have to do is text to 41444. 41444 and type in the keyword prompted. That's text 41444. Hey, listen, even I can remember it. And type in the keyword prompted. And you can give a donation of any amount as just a way of saying thanks. And if you hate this idea, you can blame me. But I have never been more grateful than in the middle of this season for the gift of Moms in Prayer. And now, friends, it's my pleasure to bring you part two of my interview with Carol Kent. Last week, Carol told the story of learning that her only child, her son Jason, had been arrested for murder. If you missed it, head back to episode 23. Today, we begin with Carol talking about when joy began to return and how their family found a new normal. They even found a ministry. Let's dive right back in. Last night, I had good friends over whose house burned down about 2 months ago. Their 17-year-old's birthday last night. So we got to have the birthday party here. And Mike, my husband, said, don't give Eric the matches. The house might burn down or something in that vein. And we all kind of gasped, like, I cannot believe you just said that. And that isn't the way the fire started, but the laughter that just echoed through all of us, the it's not being irreverent. It's just like you said, you just have to find joy again.
Yes.
Joy comes. Not just has joy come, but ministry has come through this too.
Oh, Lee.
What was life like walking alongside of Jason during the initial season? And what has it become?
Well, in the beginning, because he was in jail for 2.5 years before his trial, visitation was only on Saturday nights. And so we would often finish with a speaking engagement somewhere on a Saturday. We would fly into Florida and get there just in time for visitation. And we were seeing him then through plexiglass with little holes in the plexiglass. And there would be one chair there, and we would have up to 5 visitors because April and the girls were there and we would be there. And we would literally put our hands on that plexiglass and he would put his hand on the other side. And then there would be other families visiting right next to you. So it wasn't private at all. It was very hard. But one of my most precious memories is that on one of those first visits Jason began to sing to us through the plexiglass. And what made it so special is that he's not a musician and he can hardly carry a tune in a bushel basket. He just reminded us to put our eyes on the Lord, to stand firm in Him, and that we have an awesome God. And as we sang together, it united our hearts. And then we would once again put our hands on that plexiglass and we would pray back and forth together. And we would pray that God would give wisdom to the attorneys, that He would comfort the hearts of the family of the deceased. I think one of the things we don't want to forget in this interview, Lee, is that some of our dear friends who are listening have been the victims of violent crime, or they know people who have. And so while we were planning a funeral for first degree murder, there was another family planning a funeral. And whenever there is a crime, there are families on both sides of that crime. The ripple impact is huge. And so we would just lift up the family of the deceased, asking God to comfort their hearts because we knew how much pain they were in. Then after Jason's conviction, we moved into a period of 6 weeks of not being able to see him because he was in that placement period where he went through testing to see where he would fit in the prison system. Now, half of all Florida inmates are illiterate. Less than half of 1% have university degrees. So they don't exactly have a placement program for U.S. Naval Academy grads. That's a laugh line. So you can laugh out loud. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, this, none of this makes real good sense. He would tell you today that he began to make an idol out of his own ability to protect his girls instead of entrusting God to be their protector, or instead of teaching them to scream, yell, run, or dial 911, he would say, I made the worst choice of my life, and my sin has caused unbelievable pain in the life of everybody I'm close to. He is quick to say how hard and how sad and how awful the price of sin is when we choose to do that. I will never forget seeing him for the first time in the first prison he was assigned to. I call my visitation picture Mama's mugshot. It is the sorriest, ugliest, crying-faced mama you have ever seen. But for the first time in over 2.5 years, I got to touch my son in the flesh and actually give him a real hug. And when we arrive at prison, we're allowed to give one embrace when we get there, and then one embrace when we leave. So it was such a treasure to be able to actually give him a real hug. Then no longer do we have plexiglass between us in the prison. We get to sit at a table and you can actually hold hands on top of the table with your loved one. So that alone, physical touch is a precious thing when you haven't had it in a very long time. And that was so meaningful to all of us. But the fact that he was there with a life sentence was overwhelming to comprehend. And then when the visit ended, to see him line up again in his jailhouse blues and be processed back into the system where he goes down, I mean, he goes through a strip search every time he comes in and goes out of the visitation area because it's a maximum security prison. So none of that is pleasant. It's hard, but oh, how we pray not to waste it.
What are those visits like now? Are they the same?
Well, now we have an opportunity because we've launched a nonprofit organization called speakupforhope.org, and we have an opportunity to funnel gifts into the prison that will help Jason with ministry opportunities. And so we brainstormed together, in addition to visiting as moms and dads do with their children, but we say, Jason, what are the needs you have right now? He has currently taken over 700 men through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University course, teaching them how to balance a checkbook, how to do a budget. He has taught a biblical counseling class. Right now, he's the president of Gavel Club, which is Toastmasters on the inside, teaching men how to communicate. So I figure because I do the Speak Up Conference, he's a chip off the old block. I just love that he's teaching men how to communicate, and he's very gifted at it. And I praise the Lord that not one bit of his education or his Christianity is being wasted. And he has had multiple jobs in the prison. They move them around about every 6 months. That's a part of the security process there. So he has worked in the chapel as a clerk for the chaplain. He's worked in the administrative office. He's very good on computers. And so he has done some of that work. He's worked on the yard. He said, Mom, there are times when my job is glorified janitor. And he said, I receive that as well as I receive the administrative jobs I've gotten around here. But one of the things that is so precious to me is that we talk about the men he is mentoring. And many of these men will one day get out because they don't have life sentences. And so he has helped them learn how to be better dads and better spouses. And he's taken them through some Bible study series that have been so precious to hear about. And I love that we get letters from some of these inmates. And Lee, one of the inmates wrote us a letter and said, I was nothing but a no good drug addict and I got sent to prison and your son led me to Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that. And one day when I was speaking in a different prison than Jason is in Florida, a man came up to me and he said, Mrs. Kent, I want you to give your son a message. Jason shared Jesus with me when I was in the prison where he is in right now. And he said, I was absolutely, adamantly, strongly against Christianity and anything about God. But he said, since I've been moved to this prison, the Holy Spirit's been working in my heart. And I want you to tell Jason that seeds he sowed into my life spiritually have really brought forth fruit because I am now a believer in Jesus Christ. So please thank him for me. Lee, stories like that make me know God is not wasting this time.
Carol, who are the other people on the other side of the bars? Describe prisoners to me. And I mean, you see that through totally different eyes today, right?
Yes, I do. And I get questions from people or comments. They'll say, I have a brother who's in prison, but I'm afraid to go because I'll be in with all those maximum security inmates. And Lee, I want you to know, some of my best friends are now people who can be labeled murderers because it was in their life before Christ. They are armed robbers who are no longer armed robbers. They are serving Jesus. They have offended in multiple ways. And when a man or a woman's heart is turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and sin has been repented and they focus on a new direction, they, like you and me, are new creatures in Jesus Christ. And I can say, I love my prison family. And people say, well, where do you go to church since you've moved to Florida and you live closer to your son? We tell them, we go to the Church of the Razor Wire. And they'll raise an eyebrow and they'll say, well, what denomination is that? And we let them know that visitation in Florida prisons is on Saturdays and Sundays. And often we're in ministry somewhere in the country through Saturday. But if we get home on a Sunday, that's where we spend our Sundays, at our little Church of the Razor Wire around our visitation table. And that has become a very precious thing to us. And I'll never forget one day when my mother and dad in their late 80s were visiting. And mother said, why don't we all share a scripture verse that's been meaningful to us? She said, I'll go first. I love what Paul said in Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will know God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your heart quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. We all shared our verses. Then my sister Bonnie, who was also visiting that day, began to sing, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Mama joined in with her alto. Daddy joined in with his one note monotone. And when a man is 89, you celebrate that one note, Lee. And the next thing I knew, people at the table next to us were singing. Then people at the table next to them were singing. And I thought, we are having a church service at Hardy Correctional Institution, and it is good. And you know, Lee, when I go in and I see those inmates, I love my brothers in Christ. And it has become a wonderful family of God. And I praise God for the men who've turned their lives around and are serving Jesus from inside the razor wire.
they have worth, but I imagine that as you stand in line to go into prison, that there's lots of opportunities for ministry among the families that are waiting to visit their loved ones too.
Lee, we often have to wait 2 hours, sometimes in blazing heat or torrential rain, to even get inside to go through the intake process. It is not an efficient system. And there are days when you just say, oh, how can I ever do this again and again and again? And there are families who quit coming. Jason would tell you that a lifer on average gets visits for 5 years and then nobody comes anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody puts money in their inmate accounts for the basics of personal hygiene items or postage stamps. They don't care. But because we have long periods of time waiting in those lines, we get to meet a lot of the inmate families. We get to know the children. We get to know the wives who are going in to see their husbands. And to me, one of the sweetest stories of all is that we began to see women who were being turned away when they would go in through the intake process, because the rules change really often. And the rules had changed so that women could no longer wear sleeveless blouses inside. We were standing in line one day, and I had been noticing at home that Jean's pile of black t-shirts was going down. And I know dryers eat socks, but I don't think they eat black t-shirts. And I said, what's happened to all your t-shirts? He said, you'll find out soon enough. Well, on this particular day, I saw this woman turned away, and I instantly knew why. She was sobbing, and she came out with a sleeveless blouse on. And then I noticed that Gene had disappeared from where he was standing in line next to me, and I looked over at the parking lot. Our trunk was up, and I saw him get a black t-shirt out of our trunk, and he went over to the woman. He handed it to her. He said, here, ma'am, put this on and go to the front of the line. It's my gift to you today. I hope you have a wonderful visit with your loved one. And he came back to where I was standing, and I said, so that's what's been happening to your t-shirts. He looked down. He said, it's my ministry. Lee, a month later, I was in Wisconsin speaking, and I shared that story. And a couple of weeks later, there was a package on my front porch, and I opened the box. It was filled with black t-shirts, and a woman had left a note in there. She said, dear Carol, I heard your story when you spoke in Wisconsin recently, and I work for JanSport, so I can purchase black t-shirts very inexpensively. She said, please use this donation toward your husband's t-shirt ministry through his trunk distribution program. I hope it blesses a few lives. So we have been able to get coloring books and crayons into the prisons for these families. We've been able to send boxes of hope to the wives and moms of inmates. And we collect bath items that are matching, and books and Christian CDs and little stuffed animals. And when my sisters come to visit, we make my garage into this massive place where we put boxes of hope together. And it looks like an assembly line. And my sisters, who you know well, fill these boxes, and then a letter is placed in each box letting them know that they were prayed for as that box was being filled, and that they hope these items will remind them that they are not forgotten and that we're praying for them.
Carol, one of the things that I love most, because this is personal for me too, I have a brother who's incarcerated, is that these are real people. Mm-hmm. And I've shared this with you, but one of the most touching aspects of our ministry at Moms in Prayer is a prison ministry. And I wrote to you, we have over 80 groups praying with incarcerated moms across America. And just the other day, I got an email saying that that's not enough, that we need a group at every jail, because there's moms and there's dads inside of these jails and prison who are just like us. They love their children and want what's best for them. I wonder two things. What would you say to a mother who has just been blindsided by a choice her child has made?
I just want to say, give yourself permission to grieve. Cry those tears. God finds your tears so important and special. The Bible says he collects them. I figure I have a whole pantry going up there, Lee, filled with bottles of tears. So allow yourself to feel that sorrow, but don't allow yourself to stay stuck there. Ask God to reveal someone you can talk to who would be trustworthy, who is a believer, who will pray with you. And I love Moms in Prayer because it's women meeting together who care about each other. And when you find even one other person, a woman who will pray with you and specifically by name for your child, for your spouse, for whatever is going on in your life that is causing you deep sorrow, there's a camaraderie there. And there's a strength there that you can hardly explain. And as women come together and do this, it is empowering because first, you know you're not alone. Secondly, there are ways that women have of just hearing the needs of that woman they're praying with, and they start reaching out in tangible ways. And then you start to remove the shame when you get vulnerable, because we're so quick to feel false shame and false guilt over what we haven't caused. And Lee, right 5 days before Jason was arrested for murder, my book, Becoming a Woman of Influence, came out. On the 7 ways that Jesus impacted his disciples that show us how we can pass truth on to the next generation. I thought, I am like the worst mother in the world because my son has been arrested for murder and the enemy just plagued me with that thought. How can I even write a book or talk about being a woman of influence when I'm the mother of a murderer? And you know what? Once again, when you pray with other women, they remind you of the lies of the enemy and that you are to stand strong in truth. And when you do that through prayer, through reading scripture, it's like you're stomping on the head of the enemy saying, you loser, you meant to wipe the mama out, sometimes the daddy out too. And I know when you have an incarcerated spouse, it's very much like being a single parent in terms of having to earn the money to take care of your family and to provide the emotional support for your family and for your spouse. It is hard. And I pray for you. I cover you with prayer that God will give you the strength for every moment, and that he will surround you with other moms who will pray with you. And Lee, let's just start praying that God will raise up Moms in Prayer in every prison in America and even in the jails, because the need is so great.
So great. That's my prayer too. You know, that's true with Moms in Prayer. We've loved being friends with you over the years and your heart for women and men and communication of the gospel in the darkest of places ministers to us so much. Carol, as we wrap up, what hope and verses are you clinging to right now? And how is prayer playing a part in this journey 20 years later?
Well, for me, prayer is like breathing. I now pray during the day when my mind does not have to be occupied with other activities. I pray with my eyes wide open. And my husband and I try to walk about 4 miles a day on our at-home days, and we pray together just back and forth while we're walking. And it is as natural as breathing when you start to practice doing it that way. And we'll say, Lord, would you cover Jason right now with all of the strength he needs to make an impact on the life of another inmate or an officer who's working there or a volunteer? Give him a divine encounter right now, and we pray for others. But the scriptures that have really encouraged me are, first of all, Isaiah 41:10. And I want to speak this into the life of every mom who's afraid for her kids right now. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then for those of you who are in a hard place, it might not be incarceration, but it might be that your kid is walking away from every biblical principle you ever taught him or her. And it is so hard. They're making wrong choices. And this is the scripture I have claimed throughout Jason's incarceration. It is Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And Lee, I just want to remind every mama listening to us right now that God can do a new thing. He can use the worst thing that's happened to you in your life involving your kids, your marriage, your life as a platform upon which you can sing his praises and tell people that the end chapter is not written yet. God is still good. He is still trustworthy, and he can use what the enemy intended for bad for good in your life if you look to him.
Oh, Carol, you're such a bearer of hope for us. Thanks for being with us today.
Lee, what a privilege. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray God will keep blessing and that he will very significantly bless every listener we have to this podcast.
Oh, that's my prayer too. Carol, would you close us out in prayer together right now?
I would love to do that. Oh, Father, our hearts are so full. Thank you, first of all, for the gift of your son, Jesus, and that because we have his death on the cross and his resurrection, that we can have life in Jesus when we say yes to him. And then, Lord, I pray for every mother who is tuned in today, that you would be her comforter, that you would be her teacher and her guide, and that you would give her wisdom with her children. And Lord, when the hard chapters of life come, would you remind us that we are not alone? Let us hear your voice say, I won't ever leave you. I won't ever walk away from you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Oh, Father, we know we are engraved on the palms of your hand. Father, I want to especially lift up to you right now all of the women listening who have incarcerated loved ones. And I pray that they might know they are not alone, that they have you with them, and that they have the support of praying moms all over the country, remembering to lift them up even in this hour. And Lord, I ask that you would give them every need, meet their financial needs, meet their emotional needs and their spiritual needs. Lord, we thank you that because we belong to you, that you cover us with your presence and with your peace. And Father, we lift up moms in prayer to you, and we ask that you would continue to bless this organization globally as moms unite in prayer, and that it would give all of us that knowledge of the fact that we can have fresh faith and we can have hope and a future because Jesus lives, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Carol, you're a gift. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Lee. God bless you.
What a story. After a couple of years of friendship, I know that Carol has never stopped missing her son, Jason. She is living a reality she didn't choose. Wouldn't choose, and yet she sees the Lord's hand in it all and is trying to be faithful. You can find the scriptures Carol prayed and learn more about her ministry on our website on the blog at momsinprayer.org. You can also find out more about the Moms in Prayer prison ministry at our website at momsinprayer.org as well. Moms are making the difference, friends. Moms who have to learn to breathe again. Moms just like you. See you next week.